Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. The war for the free world took a dark turn yesterday, in my estimation. We lost a country, Canada. Not all of the country, obviously, but the government of Canada was removed from power through a democratic process that has brought a very different government with, it would appear, very different attitudes towards, well, among other things, America, the countries that are hostile to it, towards others in the free world with whom we have made common cause, and the Canadian government of Stephen Harper did as well. And perhaps most importantly, this whole global jihad movement and what will be done by Canada to aid and abet it, perhaps, certainly not to fight it as Prime Minister Harper had done. It is a great pleasure to have back with us to talk about all this a Canadian, a man who is very much in the front lines of the fight, particularly against Islamic supremacism of both the violent and nonviolent kind. He is the founder and the driving force behind an indispensable web magazine entitled Point de Bascule, or Tipping Point, based in Quebec. He is Marc Labouie. Marc, welcome back. It's good to have you with us, sir, although the occasion is not the happiest, I'm afraid.
Thank you very much for having me, Frank. The occasion is putting us aback. We're reflecting what's going to happen now. It's going to be a major, major change because the election that we had yesterday is giving us a majority government. That means that the Liberal government that was elected will have full power, and they will have a lot of leeway to be able to push their own policy without much resistance. It's important to know, especially for an American audience, that the Prime Minister's position in Canada, there's basically no check and balance like in the United States. The Prime Minister has a lot of power and control. And, for example, it's the Prime Minister's office that will propose the kind of bill that will be proposed, the foreign affairs decision, and so on and so forth. If the Prime Minister was the President of the United States, he would have a lot more power than the current President of the United States.
And to the extent that we know anything about this young new Prime Minister-elect Justin Trudeau, what do we know about his attitudes, for example, most especially of interest to us down here, towards the United States? His attitudes, both his personal attitudes and those of his famous father, Pierre Trudeau, former Prime Minister of Canada, that augurs ill for kind of how Canada would align under him in this war for the free world.
Yeah, well, one of the things is Canada is known for basically inventing or creating the multicultural policies. So his son, Justin Trudeau, is even more multicultural than his father. The policy is basically where all cultures are equal. And, you know, this is a very broad definition, but Canada has no culture as such. It's only based on citizenship and not really on Canadian values. So basically, if you own a Canadian passport, you're Canadian. There's also, this could explain why when he was criticizing a bill called Bill 24 that could take away the citizenship of an individual linked to terrorism that has dual citizenship. Well, basically for him, he took a very, very strong stance on that. And Justin Trudeau says that terrorists should get to keep their Canadian citizenship.
That's a pretty ominous sign of where his head is at. And in point of fact, is it not the case, Marc Labouie, that the Prime Minister-elect has made very little secret of his enthusiasm for more diversity in Canada, if not quite an open approach like Germany has taken recently towards refugees, but certainly one that would be far more open door to immigrants from, say, Syria or other parts of the world, with very profound potential implications for the character of Canada itself.
Absolutely. He does want to bring in more Syrian refugees. But even prior to that, and this is in quite a few Canadian-based Arabic literature and newspapers, he really openly said that he would bring in more Arabic background type of immigrants into the country and under his watch.
And we saw in the latter days of the campaign, as I understand it, Mark, some sort of preoccupation with this question of whether people should be allowed to become, swear the oath of allegiance to Canada as citizens, wearing the niqab, kind of a symptom of this larger problem.
He basically doesn't want to put any rules or restrictions on the wearing of the niqab. That means, in a certain way, if we extrapolate what he says, anybody can wear the niqab for any functions.
Mark, let me turn before we run out of time to something else. And again, our guest is Mark Labuie, the driving force and editor-in-chief of a terrific online publication, Point de Bascule, or Tipping Point, in Quebec. In Quebec, you have had a sort of ongoing challenge with the provincial legislature over, well, now several pieces of legislation, I guess. Talk both about Quebec Bill 59 and its prospects and implications, and also this resolution that was adopted unanimously just a little while ago.
Yeah, there was a motion. Well, first of all, Bill 59 is a censorship bill, that we can generally call it that way, where basically they're going to transfer powers that the courts are already addressing, but transfer powers to these bodies called Human Rights Commission. And it's more like a civil type of court. But what's going to happen with these Human Rights Commission is that they will, if those powers are transferred, they will be able to file complaints against an individual on their own. They will be able to accept complaints from individual against those who may be considered as doing hate speech from anonymous individual can file complaints. The consequences of this is also how they define what hate speech is, and the definition could be reduced to how people feel, or how people are, when the people feel offended by certain things that are said. So, for example, the president of the Human Rights Commission says that criticism of Islam could enter as a justified complaint, a criticism of ideas such as ideologies and Islamic faith. So this bill was highly criticized by almost all newspapers, all columnists in Canada. It was almost unanimous, except maybe two. And then after a couple of weeks from that, just recently, there was an incident that occurred where a woman wearing a hijab was aggressed, supposedly. And after that, there was somebody that proposed a motion. It's called a motion. It doesn't have any power of law whatsoever, but it's very important. It gives you the mood and the intention of the people.
Of the legislature in this case, not necessarily the people, but the legislature.
Exactly, with the legislature. And what's surprising is even the opposition party accepted and voted unanimously this Islamophobia bill that did not even mention anything about the incidents and the aggression.
Well, Mark, let bring this home to us here in the United States, if you would, because I think there's a tendency to regard what happens in foreign countries, even one as close and as important to us as Canada is, as somehow somebody else's problem. As you see it, what is the agenda of the people who are pushing these kinds of initiatives, Islamophobia bans and censorship? Is it confined to Canada, or do you see this as really part of a worldwide agenda of imposing Sharia here as well as in your country?
Well, I believe now more than ever we're having a lot of foreign influence or foreign involvement in the way certain politicians are running their intent. This was brought up by the former intelligence security agency's director, Richard Fadden, when he says that many politicians in Canada are under foreign influence. These types of influences can have a huge, huge influence on how certain interests could be pushed, and has they don't seem logic on how they're being applied over here.
Mark Labuie, we have to leave it at that, I'm afraid. This is a tremendously important story, and your efforts to stand up to this kind of initiative, this Islamic supremacism, is greatly appreciated. It makes Point de Bascule required reading. We look forward to talking with you further about developments on your side of the border as the Trudeau government takes power and begins implementing its policies. Good luck, especially within your own province of Quebec as well. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, Benjamin Weintall joins us from Germany to talk about what this kind of diversity-driven immigration program looks like in practice. Why it could be a problem for us, too. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.